Welcome to another episode of Save Yourself with Dr. Amy Shah. I have the most incredible, amazing, special guest today, my mom and dad, Rekha and Jitendra Gosalia. Before we get into the conversation, we're going to be talking about longevity, nutrition, nutrition for immigrants, nutrition as you age, menopause, and a lot of other things today. But I wanted to, first of all, thank our sponsors. We want to thank Trulene. The wellness shop from Trulene is truly a game changer. It's at trulene.com, and you can use the code DRSHAH50, DRSHAH50, to get 50% off the wellness shot. The wellness shot will change your life. It's so delicious. Anyone who's tried it loves it. So I often have it in the middle of the day. Sometimes I have it in the morning. Check it out. And then we have a new product out. It's called the Chai Protein. We're actually having it right now. It has 20 grams of protein and 100 calories in one serving. So no caffeine. It's easy to mix in water. You literally don't even need a blender. You don't need ice or a blender, all that equipment. It's sweetened already. You literally just have to mix it and you get an amazing protein-packed healthy drink. It's called the Chai Protein Plus. It's available at amymdwellness.com. It's brand new and we're super excited because the reviews are just coming in and people are loving it. I think the thing that makes it different is that you don't need a blender. Like most protein powders, you have to get the blender set up and it's a lot of work in the morning. But imagine you could just put a powder in water and mix it, or in your yogurt or in your oatmeal, or it's just super, it's doesn't have emulsifiers. It doesn't have typical chemicals that protein powders often have. So check it out. I think you'll love it. I'm excited to get started with the special episode. If you have someone in your family who is an immigrant or is from a South Asian culture or any culture where they've moved to a brand new nutrition culture, this episode is for you. And if you're someone who is wondering about real life, like how does it work as you get older, trying to incorporate all the things that I talk about all the time into your real life, that's why we have them here and let you hear it straight from them. So thank you so much for being here. I want to start with mom. So tell us, you know, if you can remember, when you first moved to America, how old were you?
I was 30 years old.
Okay. And what changed for you in terms of the way you were eating or exercising or living when you moved here?
Yeah, you know, we had no idea what to eat as a nutrition. So we were using and eating what our grandparents and parents used to eat, rotli, dabba, saag, all the carbs and no protein, and just, you know, eating all the fatty food which we like, been used to, and that's our taste. So we used to eat that, and then all of a sudden, my daughter goes in nutrition and she says, Mom, all we eating is a carb. And then I realized that maybe we should change our eating habit. We should add more protein to our carb and, you know, less carb, more protein, and more vegetables and all that. So we changed how we were eating before.
Yeah, I think a lot of people from an Indian background or even from any background out of this country, when you first come here, it's very confusing. Everybody is trying to work a lot of jobs. You're trying to keep up the culture of your old nutrition habits. And you didn't really get taught. Did anybody ever teach you like what to eat or what's healthy?
No, we just learn from what we are eating at home. And there was no education.
You just learn from what your parents fed you. Yeah. Now, Dad, tell us a little bit about how your nutrition, was it the big change coming from India to America that you kind of changed the way you eat in a good way or bad way? Tell us a little bit about that.
In India, most of our food is fried food and is also very heavy carb. Yeah. It was the carb in the morning, carb in the afternoon, carb in the dinner time.
Yeah.
And then we have lots of fried food as a food when you get hungry in the middle of the afternoon, you have the fried food. And in India, basically, we only did either work, eat, and sleep. Mm-hmm. It's only when you come to U.S., it's a big culture shock. Though there is a work is much harder, but we still continued our old habit of food because we didn't know any better.
Yeah. And then you added like pizza and soda on top of that. Yeah.
Then you add the pizza, tacos, and
Taco Bell.
Donuts,
yeah.
and all those kind of things. The chocolate is a big difference. Yeah. In India, we never used to eat that much of chocolate.
Yeah.
But here, the chocolate chip cookies and those.
Baked goods are not very common. Yeah.
No.
So why do you think that there's not as many, at least when you were growing up, everybody's eating so much carbs and fried food and they're vegetarian, not getting a lot of protein. Why do you think there wasn't a big obesity crisis or diabetes crisis back then?
At that time, I think the people used to eat lots of carb and lots of fried food, but there was also enough physical stress or a physical exercise, not as an exercise, but to go to work, you have to go on a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to walk to the bus stop and then go and take a bus. So there was a lot of physical exercise. We were doing it not just because of the exercise, but that was a necessity to do the life, to go on with the life in a normal course of routine. So even though you have a lot of carb, but at the same time, you used to burn a lot of them. While coming to US, you basically didn't have much of a physical exercise. So
that's how
we, anywhere you have to go, you have a car, you don't have to walk very much, but we still have the same habit of food. That's where you put lots of weight on that one.
Yeah.
And the food, the fatty food was so much tastier and cheaper, and we could afford more, so we ate more and more.
I think this is a really good point that people need to know. People, when you were growing up, they weren't going to gyms. They didn't have a exercise, you know, gym membership, a program that they would go in these areas and, you know, work out together. People were just walking. They were riding their bikes. They were being outdoors. There wasn't a lot of phone and computer distractions. And so you're probably not eating super healthy, but then you were moving a lot and you're socializing a lot and you're in the nature a lot. All the things that we know actually help you live longer. So what is it that you had to do, mom or dad? What is it that you had to do to switch from that old lifestyle? What are the tangible steps that you've changed?
So what we did is we have to control our sweet tooth. So, you know, we have to control what we eat.
How do you do that?
Like no sweets every day. You know, you take a small sweet piece and just make it satisfy, you know, your sweet tooth. And we have to eat more protein like dal and mug and all pulse and everything. And less roti, like we used to eat roti like 3 or 4. Now we have to cut down to 1 or 2.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, we added more protein into our day-to-day routine, and then we have to walk. We walk, we exercise, we join the gym, and you know, sometimes I like more to walk outside, so I walk more outside, I take more sun and all that thing. So that does change our, you know, weight control and all that.
What do you think has helped you the most in the last 10 years in changing your lifestyle or diet or habits that has made you healthier, feel younger? All of that.
I think being with my kids, the grandkids, that was my biggest thing, that they gave me all the challenges that my body needed. And I was very, very happy that I'm getting my body workout and I'm getting my love with my grandchildren.
Yeah.
So that made a big difference in me. I lost 30 pounds at one point and I didn't even know that I lost that pound like just like that because being with kids, doing all the things for the kids and being happy, that gives me, you know, more motivation. And that's how I think that was a big change in my life, that keeping active, keeping with children, keeping with, you know, everything, the healthy eating.
Yeah, that's what the studies show. Actually, you know, humans are the one of the only species on the earth that live, human women live past menopause for many, many years, like 20, 30 years. And they think it's because women in human and a certain like whales, like those women still have a job in society and it keeps them going and living longer because you're there to take care of your kids, you're there to take care of your grandkids, to the community. So it's a very unique thing. Dad, now you have a history of type 2 diabetes in your family. What is it that you do now to best control your blood sugars, even being vegetarian, even being from a South Asian background, even having all the history, like what are the strategies that have helped you the most?
You know, I never knew I had a diabetes till I came to US. It's only by a test done at the medical office for my physical made me aware that I have a type 2 diabetes. Before that, I had no idea. So I had no control on what I eat, what I do. We were really not formal education on a healthy diet or healthy exercise, importance of exercise. In India, you are so busy in doing your routine day in and day out. The sports, healthy eating, basically no one has any idea. And mainly that's also the economical situation where such that you have to work hard. So the sports, healthy eating, exercise always takes the secondary things.
Yeah.
But coming to US, you got lots of knowledge and awareness of the situation, the importance of healthy eating, importance of exercise. Though when we came here, if we maintain the same lifestyle, we will get no exercise but the same food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, knowing that you have to do that, there is a doctor who tells us what to do, there is a little more time and to do the exercise, to play the sports, and that really changed a lot. Now you are more knowledgeable about what to eat, how to control the diabetes, why not to. The carb is the biggest culprit for your diabetes. Weight gain is the biggest culprit in diabetes. So exercise, like doing a normal exercise, plus playing a regular sports, like in my case is a tennis, has helped me a lot in controlling my diet, controlling my weight, and also have a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, like a social outlet too. There's actually studies, and I think I sent it to you, that show that there are certain sports that actually really help with longevity, and those are racket sports.
Yes.
Racket sports like tennis and pickleball, like what you do, is actually really, really great because you need balance. As we talked about, like it's easy to lose your balance. It's easy to, you have to accelerate, decelerate. There's something about racket sports, that eye-hand coordination, that's really good at keeping the brain active, which is really great because as you get older, it's really easy not to read. It's really easy not to do all the brain healthy exercise, but it's really fun to socialize and do things like you do pickleball and tennis, which is a great thing, but mom does dancing, which is a really amazing way to also keep your brain activity.
Yes.
Learning a dance, for example,
yes,
is not easy.
Yes.
You have to think about it,
you
memorize it.
Yes.
And so when you guys are always doing those dance performances, I think not only is it making it fun for you, but it's also really great for your brain to learn to coordinate like that, especially as you're getting older. So can you share your ages?
Okay. I just turned 72 on March 10th.
And I turned 73.
And the funny thing is that your birth dates on your birth certificates are completely different than your actual birthdays. I think a lot of people don't realize that in, you know, other countries, like, you know, you pretty much can change your birth certificate to go into school a year earlier. And a lot of people have that
wrong one.
So,
yes.
But your real age, 72 and 73. And so I think what people may not realize is that in America, about the last 10 to 15 years of people's lives, they end up being really debilitated. And that's probably true in most countries, but this is definitely true now in the modern world. So it's like people are living on average a little bit longer, but they're living in a very compromised health state. So I think the biggest thing to remember is being active, brain and body, and then changing the diet so that you're not on your path to diabetes or heart disease. Number one killer is heart disease. 80% of heart disease is preventable. 90% of diabetes and control of diabetes is diet and exercise. Same thing with dementia. Almost 50% of dementia is basically diet and lifestyle exercise. So there's so many things you can be doing today that are preventing you from getting these diseases later. Let's talk a little bit about mom. When did you know you were in menopause when you were in menopause? How did you know?
You know, I started having a little bit problem of having a sleep. I was very, very, like I, all of a sudden I'm thinking I can't fall asleep. And I said, I don't know what is happening. At that time, I didn't even know what is menopause, you know. And then, you know, talk to doctor and say, oh, everybody has a menopause and everybody goes through this.
How old were you?
I think like 45, something like that. And then, you know, my menopause came later. than most of the people. So I started a little bit at that time, but then later on I had a sleeping problem. So that's the one thing that I...
I remember sleep and also weight gain, right?
Weight gain was a big one. Yes.
Did you have hot flashes?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah. Yes. In the night, you know, I take a blanket and then I take it out and then take it on and take it out.
What did you learn? What did you know about menopause from your mom or your aunts or aunts?
Nobody talks about it because the woman doesn't know what they go through there, and they never told us that you will go through this when this becomes, you know, they just say, okay, you know, this is your body change and it goes to the change, and they didn't know any better.
Like, I think maybe you probably know there's so many people in your family or community in their late 40s and 50s, they go through sleep issues, weight gain issues, but also like mood issues.
Yeah. Oh my
Anxiety
God.
And depression is very rampant.
Yeah,
that time.
Yeah. Some of the relative I know that they go through that, they are so like not control over their mind, and they will sometimes cry, and then sometimes they are laughing, and sometimes they are saying, you know, I want to go and live the life somewhere else because I'm not happy here.
But why, in India, there's so much community. You never talked about this?
Never.
Like
never.
Your mom or your sister, your cousins or your...
Nobody talks about it.
It's like they knew about it, but they just didn't know what was happening.
Now I think people are getting more aware of it because of the all the media and all this thing. You know,
but like, back then, nobody really talked
about it. At that time.
So what did you think was happening to you when this was all happening?
I thought something is wrong with me. You know, something is in my body, something is wrong, which is making me anxious, and that's why I can't sleep. But there was no idea that this is because of the menopause.
Did anyone ever offer you like hormone therapy or estrogen, progesterone, or anything like that?
You know, we have seen the people, and then they say there is a risk involved in that, so I never have to go through that, so I did not even talk.
You know, those studies have been debunked now.
Yeah.
Like if you were going through it again, they would say those studies were wrong. When they looked back at it, does not raise your cancer risk, at least for most people. So it's interesting because in your generation, I think nobody really got hormone therapy during that time.
No.
So what did you do differently during that time to control your...
Just do the more exercise. Mm-hmm. That's what helped me. More exercise and being aware of, I set the time to the sleep and don't go in the fluctuation, you know, like every day's sleeping time was the same time. Yeah. So the sleeping time is the same time. And then I do the deep breathing before I go to sleep, and I don't let my mind wander everywhere. So, you know, that was the big help that solved that issue. Now I don't have any problem with that.
Okay. So if there's other people out there that are listening, maybe their parents, maybe themselves, maybe their relatives, maybe their friends who are South Asian immigrants, who are maybe getting to this age and getting to their 70s, and maybe people who are vegetarian, maybe people who have a similar background to you, what advice would you give? I'll let you both give advice, like one or two pieces of advice that you would give to them to live a healthier lifestyle based on what you've learned from yourself, from what I've told you, from your own experiences, all of it.
Okay, well, one thing I will say that being a daughter in the house who knows what to do, so follow someone who knows, so you can question them and you can, you know, get an answer properly and guidance properly. So that's the one thing, you have a advantage.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you keep yourself very busy, do some exercise and be with kids, be happy all the time, and that gives you all the happiness and your hormones stays balanced. Yeah. And
like a purpose, the way they describe it in the literature is like people who have a purpose outside of themselves. So whether they're building something for their kids or they're doing something for somebody else, they're doing volunteer work or they're giving back to their family or whatever it is, having some kind of purpose outside of yourself. Yeah, I think that's a really good tip.
Yes.
Okay, Dad, how about you? If you had to give somebody who was in your similar place, who has a similar maybe background as you, what would you say?
I can say the thing is that keep your mind and body active.
Yeah.
Also have some routine in your life. Have irregular sleep, regular eating habits. Avoid the unhealthy food, because 90% is food, 10% is exercise in having a healthy lifestyle. So that...
I think you always say you wish it was the other way around, but I agree with you. It's 90% food.
For 90% food. So I think is the key. Keeping yourself mentally, physically active, control your diet, have some routine in your life, have a good, busy, occupied life is the, and involved with your family, mm-hmm. and enjoy the time, friends and family, and basically don't sit idle.
Yeah.
Idle mind is the biggest problem.
Yeah. I think as you get older, I think that the nutrition piece, the exercise piece, but also the real purpose and mindset piece is a huge part of this.
Huge,
yeah.
Huge.
So if you had to give some advice to someone who is in your same mind place, from what I'm hearing, you would say, you know, eat healthy, keep moving, find ways to move, but also find ways to have a purpose and connection outside of yourself. So like
good
things
habits
that you're doing for other people, whether it be your family or friends or community, and then also keeping your mind really, really active. What are ways that you keep your mind very active, both of you? So I know we talked about it a little bit. So pickleball, tennis, dancing.
Dancing for me.
Okay.
Yes.
Dancing, what are some
for
other?
Me and having a time with the kids and having a time with the grandkids.
Yeah.
And traveling and be with friends, go to the regular association and all that makes me very, very happy and motivated.
How about you?
I think the keep your mind active when you do the exercise, playing sports, but also have some good habit like gardening, have something like swimming, walking.
Yeah.
The other thing is like have some exercise that challenges your mind, like a word game is the very, very useful thing to do. Some of the word game from New York Times are quite challenging, keeps your mind very active. And I think just have a good habits that keeps your mind and body active and healthy is the way to do it.
Oh, I have a question. What do you guys think of, so when you were growing up, you had no internet, no phone, no social media. Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing?
Good and bad, both. Because a good thing was we were more socialized and, you know, we had more time to ourselves and no sideline or too much information and all that. And the good thing, you will say.
The good thing is that nowadays there's so much of information available, but at the same time, you really need to analyze what is a good information, what is not a
over
good information.
Over-information,
There is so much of this thing.
Confusing.
So follow someone who you trust that he will give you the right advice and use that their advice to analyze what good information and what's a bad information. So internet is great thing.
Yes,
it helps you do lots of things effortlessly like you used to do that thing. But at the same time, you have to use it as long as it's good to you. Don't have them control you rather than you control them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, if you want to go to Paris, you can go Paris because of all this accessible information and all that. But at the same time, there are so many other things that you don't want to get involved with. So you have to be careful. You have to pick and choose what you want to see.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Our time's up. That was so quick. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you for being on. Thank you for this advice. This is so great for anyone who's in their 70s, anyone who's from a South Asian culture, anyone who's vegetarian, anyone who is an immigrant. We are so grateful to have you here. Thank you, everyone, for watching. And stay tuned for next episode. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.